Dory Monson is amazing. So if you're in the Seattle area, you got to look him up because it's 97.3. He's fantastic. I was all about seeing Dory Monson.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable.
That was so sweet.
It was very sweet.
Wasn't that at the show?
No, she came up to me at the Seahawk game during the post-game show on Monday night.
I love that.
And then she posted a really sweet video on Instagram right after that. It was very, very, very sweet. Welcome back to the Carter Subaru studio. Oh, I know there's an issue you disagree with me on, Ursula. But I have more proof. Proof! Indisputable! Undeniable proof that global warming is a hoax. Did you see that Barack and Michelle Obama just bought closed on their new estate?
I saw that it came with a really big price tag.
Yes. They were asking $14.9 million for 29 acres of beachfront on Martha's Vineyard. And now we know that they got it for $11.75 million. 6,900 square feet with 7 bedrooms, a pool, an outdoor fireplace, vaulted ceilings, 2 guest wings off the main home. Now, here, I'm serious about this. Barack Obama is president of the United States, most powerful person in the world, for 8 years, had access to the highest level of intelligence and briefings and, you know, access to scientists. He clearly doesn't believe global warming's real, because you don't buy beachfront if the seas are going to rise.
If you use that as your proof, that's
proof.
Global
it's indisputable, undeniable proof. If he knows.
No, he's just not fully doing his part.
No. Well, there are two aspects to this. First of all, again, if you think that this is the greatest existential threat facing mankind, you don't need 6,900 square feet. You get something more modest. This costs a lot of money to heat the pool. You know
but
what
you
costs
know
to
how,
heat a pool?
You don't know what kind of heat he's using, do you?
I don't care. It's a bigger carbon footprint than
solar.
It's a bigger carbon footprint than you and I have.
So you wouldn't believe that global warming exists unless everyone lives in a tiny, like, closet-sized house,
walks. If I thought it was the gravest threat to mankind, I would live my life in an according manner. But more importantly, if after 8 years of the highest level of intelligence and briefings, if he knows that the seas are going to – he's a relatively young man still.
Yeah.
If he knows that the seas are going to rise and coastal communities – are going to be swallowed up.
And his house would be floating away.
Exactly. Then all of a sudden he's got a
sinking
houseboat. Yeah, he's got a 6,900 square foot houseboat. He knows that the seas are not going to rise. He knows that it's all a hoax. He knows with the highest level of data and intelligence that it is all just a big money transfer. He wants to buy a house up in the mountains of Colorado. They don't believe that the seas are going to rise. But you buy 29 acres of beachfront that are going to get swallowed up in 12 years. Nobody in their right mind would do that if they really thought the seas were going to rise.
Or he's hoping that people, including himself, will start doing their part.
We've done our part.
And keep it.
I got an electric bike this summer.
Oh, hey,
I'm
are you
doing
still
my
using
part.
It?
No, I just got it tuned up, though. And my girls asked me what I want for Christmas, and I said cold weather cycling gear.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
because it's not fun right now.
No, but I'm gonna try to become a year round cyclist.
Okay.
I don't want to ride in the rain, although I got fenders, so I could handle some rain. But so I live my life in a far more eco friendly way than Barack Obama, and yet I know it's a hoax, and he claims that it's real. Beachfront. You got beachfront. Come on. It's all a hoax. We all know it. Don't forget, you can join Cairo Radio in Treehouse for our 31st year of holiday magic, helping provide holiday gifts for more than 5,000 children in foster care statewide. All you have to do to be part of it, to make your donation, text the word MAGIC to 98973. And you can find out how. Make the holidays bright for kids in foster care. So text the word MAGIC to 98973 and be part of our 31st year Cairo Radio with Holiday Magic. And with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So our colleague Jason Rantz over on KTTH, he talked to a senior advisor for President Donald Trump, John Pence, who's also the son of Vice President Mike Pence. And he says that there is a very good chance that Donald Trump is going to have a campaign rally in Seattle in 2020. Now, you may recall, he had one up in, Whatcom County? And they had another one in Everett when he was campaigning in 16. And everybody wondered why. Washington's a blue state. You got no chance of swinging Washington to your side. But he still rallied here. And now, and I'm telling you, these Democratic candidates, unless somebody else gets in the race, and I don't think Hillary has a better chance now if she gets in the race than what she had in 16. So I don't know, but none of these current crop of candidates are going to beat them. So anyway, John Pence told Jason that Jason asked, what is the chance Trump comes to Seattle in 2020?
You know what? I'm never going to say never. He's been here before.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure you remember it. It was a huge rally in what was it? Just north of Seattle, right?
Yeah, Everett.
Yep, in Everett. And, you know, I would say the good chance, a good high chance that President Trump will be back in Seattle in 2020.
Good chance he's coming to – what a scene that would be if he came to Seattle. And I misspoke. I said John Pence, who's Mike Pence's son. He's his nephew. So does he think that Washington State is in play for Trump in 2020?
The Northwest, we are seeing an uptick in engagement, more donors. I mentioned 100,000 new volunteer signups since the impeachment inquiry started. We've also seen 313,000 new donors within a 3-day span of when the inquiry started, and the majority of those donors are women. There's a noticeable correlation that as Democrats dig deeper and deeper into the impeachment ditch, the more they just kind of dig themselves a hole for 2020.
Well, and in fact, if you look at the Rasmussen poll out today, Trump is the highest approval that he's had in months. He's at 52% approval. And the disapprove and strongly disapprove numbers are down. The more this impeachment rolls on, the more popular the president has gotten. And so that's where it's at. But they actually seem to believe that Washington is in play in 2020. Now, we'll have to see if it happens. You know what that also means? I'm going to have to get him back on the radio show. But, you know, because that's where, you know, I said he actually believes or thought he had a shot in 2016 in Washington. Because he had the rally in Everett. He came on my show. For crying out loud. Here, let me find a clip of him on my show here. We had a bad line at first.
Dory, I'll call you in. It's a very big area. I'm going to in 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Okay, yes.
Yes, call back in 3 minutes. Thank you, Ms. Trump.
Yeah, I'll call you right back.
So weird. That was so bizarre and surreal. My wife and I had just taken a 3-day weekend to see some show down in Vegas. And I think I've told this story before. Sunday night, I start getting texts and phone calls from Nicole, and she says, we're talking to Trump tomorrow morning. And I said, I'm still in Vegas. So we found a CBS radio station in a strip mall about 15, 20 minutes from the strip. And I took an Uber out there and, you know, got all hooked up to talk to Trump. It was It was very weird. It was very surreal. So what did we talk about? We talked about sanctuary cities.
We start to see some of the real-life consequences of what you're talking about there.
Right. Well, that's one of thousands of instances. It's all over the country. And sanctuary cities are out. Basically, they're just a way of protecting people coming in. In many cases, and you have people that are being protected that shouldn't be allowed in our country that are at the highest level of criminal element. They're killers. And sanctuary cities are out. And not only that, our police force, when they hear about sanctuary cities or when they hear they're illegal immigrants, they don't even fight the same way because they feel there's nothing they can do. I mean, there's just nothing they can do. It is so unfair to the families of those that, I mean, you have, I mean, people being killed by such large numbers, and we can't allow it to happen. And sanctuary cities are over.
And of course, he tried to withhold federal funds, but then courts intervened to sanctuary cities and states like Seattle, like Washington. But courts intervened, and he wasn't able to pull that off. But anyway, we'll see if we can get him back on the show if he comes here for a rally this summer or anytime in 2020, as predicted by one of his senior advisors now. Okay, next up in the big lead.
The big lead, your tax dollars at work.
There's a headline in the Seattle Times today. New Trump administration restriction on food stamps to hit more than 75,000 people in Washington state. And they say in the story, roughly 75,500 Washingtonians in King, Snohomish, and two dozen other counties are expected to lose their food stamp benefits under a new Trump administration rule, cutting back the federal food stamps program. So I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, this is fantastic. Because under Obama, the people on food stamps reached an all-time high. But now we have this roaring great economy. We have unemployment at multi-decade lows. And one of the greatest things that society can do for individuals is to just give you the freedom to take control of your own life. And for too many people, food stamps have become a way of life. And so here's the standard that is going to cause or allow the Trump administration to kick 75,000 people in our state off of food stamps. The rule restricts exemptions that currently allow some work-eligible adults to get benefits even if they don't have steady employment. Under the new plan, states can only give waivers if a city or county has an unemployment rate of 6% or higher. So in other words, below 6% unemployment is considered full employment by economists. What it means is if you want a job, you can get a job. And that's the case, certainly in the Puget Sound area today. If you want a job today, tomorrow, you can get a job. And in Seattle, where you got $15 minimum wage, you can make not good money, but you can make getting by money. And so I saw this story and I thought, this is fantastic. This is a move to get 75,000 individuals from being wards of the state. Instead, they'll be able to start transition into becoming sovereign individuals who can control their own life. But the way the Times was framing the story, it made it sound like this is heartless and horrible to tell people who could get jobs and who can pay for their own life that we're not going to let them be on food stamps anymore. And, you know, then I thought about the 60 Minutes story that came down on Sunday. And they talked to that one guy who he talked about how he uses food stamps to get... Let me play this for you from 60 Minutes.
Josiah Wood has a full-time job. he gets up before dawn and takes mass transit.
No, that's the guy with his kid. Jeff Gold is this guy.
Jeff Gold was unable to pay the rent on his apartment and was evicted nearly 6 years ago. When we met him in August, he just started a new job as a database coordinator. He was 58 years old and a graduate of the University of Illinois. This is where Jeff was sleeping, beside a church on a sheet of cardboard. Each morning, he gathered his few possessions, stuffed them in a plastic bag, and stored them in a friend's truck. Then he headed for work at the Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay, so this guy got a federal government worker job, but then when he went to talk to 60 Minutes, he reeked of alcohol when he sat down for their prearranged interview. And then he talked about how he uses food stamps.
During our interview, Jeff smelled of liquor, and by his bed there were empty bottles of vodka, a step up, he says, from the alcohol he normally would buy with food stamps.
How do you get alcohol with food stamps?
Cooking sherry.
You can get cooking sherry.
It's the only alcohol you can buy on food stamps.
Do you think you have an addiction issue with alcohol?
Oh, I'm definitely an alcoholic.
Have you tried to stop? Or do you want to stop?
No. For me, I pretty much have it under control in the sense that, like I said, I get to work every morning.
I mean, you're sleeping outside on rocks with your possessions in a bag. So it's not all under control.
I'm moving forward. Okay. I got paid a couple days ago.
Okay. Got paid as a government worker and got food stamps to buy cooking sherry because that was the one alcohol that he could buy. I don't want to buy his cooking sherry. I want him to get help. You know, I'll pay for, and we should pay for as a society, alcohol treatment for the guy. But he got fired from his EPA job because he stopped showing up to work. And he's still collecting food stamps and buying cooking sherry, presumably, because it's the one alcohol that's exempt. I don't want to pay for that. I don't think you should have to pay for that. So this rule that says, yeah, we're going to kick people off food stamps if they're in a county that has full employment and jobs are available. To me, that's a great step. That's empowering individuals or forcing individuals to empower themselves instead of enabling them, instead of allowing them on, you know, your and my hard-earned money to continue to kill themselves or just to be wards of the government. That's no way to live. So the Times made it sound like this is some heartless Trump administration restriction. No. Getting people's self-sufficiency, that should be every individual's goal. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news for you, and then we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up. Well, it's that time of the day when we like to look back, although we have some that we haven't even heard yet today. Count down our favorite audio of the day.
This is Doreen Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Okay, at number three, the star witness at the impeachment hearing yesterday was Stanford constitutional law expert Pamela Karlan. And she, of course, hates the president. And she wants him impeached. And so it was so interesting because, you know, the Democrats called three witnesses, the Republicans won. And Jonathan Turley was the one the Republicans called, a constitutional law professor. And he said, there's nothing here to impeach him. And then you got three that the Democrats called, and they all said, yeah, he's got to be impeached. And none of them know anything about the material evidence. None of them are witnesses to anything. They just were called to reinforce their preconceived notions. And so here's how stable Pamela Karlan is, the Stanford law professor. She can't even walk down a street next to a building that has Trump's name on it.
Number three.
Yesterday, and I got off I came in from the airport yesterday and I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza and I walked up to the hotel. And as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course.
Are you staying there?
God, no. Never. Never.
But she's also the person who a few years ago said that, and she describes herself as a snarky bisexual Jew. Nothing wrong with any of those things. I like snark. Who cares what anybody's sexual identity is? And who cares what faith anybody identifies with? But what she has made clear is she says that she and the people that she tends to hang around with, they do not like straight white men.
We have to seize back the high ground on patriotism and on love of our country because we have more reason than they do to love America. The rich, pampered, prodigal, sanctimonious, incurious, white, straight sons of the powerful do pretty well everywhere in the world, and they always have.
Okay, so it's a bad thing if you're straight and white, apparently. In her mind, that makes you sanctimonious. That's just a disturbed individual that's being called to, you know, determine the destiny of our history. At number two, the Baltimore mayor has informed the citizens of Baltimore, do not park next to white vans because the mayor said that people are snatching children. People are driving around in white vans, snatching children off the streets of Baltimore. And the police told Mayor Bernard Jack Young, there's absolutely zero evidence to the story you're telling.
Number two.
We're getting reports of somebody in a white van trying to snatch up young girls for human trafficking and for selling body parts, I'm told. So we have to really be careful because there's so much evil going on, not just in the city of Baltimore, but around the country. Don't park near a white van. Make sure that you look at your surroundings and make sure you keep your cell phone in case somebody try to abduct you and call 911 right away.
And the police have responded since the mayor of Baltimore said that and says, yeah, we have absolutely zero reports of children being abducted by people in white vans. So and politicians are as susceptible to this as anyone else. But you get these urban legends that people take as gospel truth. I remember the one when I first got my very first talk show. A Saturday evening talk show, and some guy called in, and a woman, or a guy, a friend he knew, went to the Caribbean and had sex with a woman, and then she left a note, congratulations, you just got AIDS. And that was an urban legend that was just flying around. It's like the one where guys were being drugged, and they'd wake up in a bathtub full of ice and find that some of their organs had been harvested. And people would just spin these yarns before we had the internet to actually fact check some things. Oh, yeah, and the internet is nothing but facts. They're always flying around. Okay, at number one, Nancy Pelosi, when somebody asked her this morning if she hates Donald Trump, she got indignant.
Number one.
And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Okay. And as I said, it's awfully convenient to trot out your Catholicism to show your piousness and how prayerful you are about something as serious as impeachment. And yet, when the Catholic Church says, we don't believe in abortion, Nancy Pelosi, I don't care what the Catholic Church says. That's a faith of convenience, political convenience. And those are our favorite sound bites of the day, and today's sign is next.
Hey!
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we're still not through. As we present today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Seattle. The Emerald City. The Jet City. The City of Hopes and Dreams. Oh, and also one of the most dangerous cities in America. According to a brand new study by Wallet Hub, who better to study safety? Seattle is embarrassingly ranked the 150th safest city in America. They said they looked at 180 cities. So, I mean, think about that. There are only 30 cities in the entire United States more dangerous now than Seattle. And they said it was assault based on assaults per capita, unemployment rate, which is great here. So the other numbers must be particularly horrible. Assaults per capita, unemployment rate, share of sheltered homeless, among others, natural disaster risk, all of this, financial safety risk. And in financials and unemployment, Seattle does really well. So we are particularly bad when it comes to our streets, assaults and drug vagrants on the streets. And it is rather amazing that the city in which I grew up in my lifetime has gone from, well, I'm the safest. It wasn't Mayberry when I was growing up. But I could ride my bike to the Seattle Center at midnight when I was 12 years old. I could go down to the Greyhound bus terminal and play pinball at 3 in the morning when I was 13 years old. Yes, I did all of those things. So, but we have just let an entire generation of leftist politics turn the city into heck. Hole. And so that's what we get. You get what you vote for. Today's sign story number two. The color broadcaster for the San Francisco 49ers has been suspended from broadcasting their game this weekend because of something he said about Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. And I got to tell you, the stunningly high level of ignorance in this remark, I'm surprised that this guy's only getting suspended.
His dark skin color with a dark football, with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
So he was saying that the reason Lamar Jackson is so effective at the option, you know, fake the handoff, keep it himself, is because the Ravens' dark uniforms and Lamar Jackson's dark skin color and the dark football all meshed together. And that's just ridiculous. So Tim Ryan has been suspended for one game. He said it on a KNBR radio show to discuss the 49ers losing to the Baltimore Ravens last weekend, 20-17, a loss that combined with the Seahawks' Monday night football win has elevated the Seahawks, of course, to first place. He's issued a statement now. He said, "I regret my choice of words in trying to describe the conditions of the game. Lamar Jackson is an MVP caliber player, and I respect him greatly. I want to sincerely apologize to him and anyone else I offended." I hate those apologies. How have people not learned by now? The "I apologize to anyone I offended." Just apologize. That's just always such a weak cop-out. Okay, and finally, in today's sign, do we have any good gold songs? A 22-year-old Chinese man has been arrested for trying to smuggle 2.2 pounds of gold into Nepal.
The man hid the gold in his rectum. Security staff at an airport in Kathmandu nabbed the 22-year-old after noticing him behaving suspiciously and walking in a peculiar way. Yeah, you'd walk in a peculiar way, too, if you had 2.2 pounds of gold in your rectum. Rectum? It almost killed him. The gold was valued at 61,000 pounds, which I believe is about $150,000. But, I didn't mean to say but. That was a poor use of hyphen word there. The thing is, what are they going to do with the gold now? Because if I buy a nice necklace for my wife, I would like that gold to be certified as rectum-free. You know, we got dolphin-free tuna. I am demanding rectum-free gold. But that's just me. There's people out there turning music into gold. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for today. Tomorrow, of course, in advance of the Seahawks' big Sunday night game against the Los Angeles Rams in the City of Angels, Pete Carroll will drop by for his usual Friday visit. Tomorrow, between 12:30 and 1 o'clock, Pete Carroll will join us here on The Dory Monson Show. It's the Pete Carroll Show on The Dory Monson Show every Friday. So tune in tomorrow. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Singing to the soul, there's people out there turning music into gold. Flying over Canaan, singing to my soul. People out there turning music into gold. People out there turning music into gold. People out there turning music into gold. The less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people. I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.